how was your storm, huh? I'm going through game withdrawal. Let's get back to action, shall we? Yeah, I know. I'm in the minority right now because I can hear some of you even at this moment screaming at me, going, "We want exams canceled. We want to be out of school for the rest of the week." Yeah, I hear you. If I were X number of years younger, I'd probably feel the same way you do. Hey, friends, Rob Witham here. We survived the storm of 2016, and we're back with another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. Don't know if I talked about it at all or not on our last game of the week, which was a week ago tonight when we had the doubleheader at Highland Springs between the Springers and the LC Bird Skyhawks. But it seemed at that moment in that evening that my cold that I had had over the holidays at the break was trying to come back, and it did. Oh boy, did it do it with a vengeance. And so lots of cold medicine and Kleenexes here over the last several days. And late Friday morning, my wife and I hunkered down here at RVA Sports Network World Headquarters in Glen Allen, Virginia, not far off a mountain road. And we watched the snowfall Friday. We watched the snowfall Saturday. Saturday, I took a nap, and I woke up about 3 o'clock, right about when that little mini blizzard broke out. Holy cow. I looked at my window. I'm like, what is going on? And so there's no way to know officially for sure 100% how much snow we got here. But I think it's between 13 and 14 inches, and that would be the most that we've ever had in we've been here in this humble abode for 23 years now, and that would be the second most snow that I've experienced in one storm in my lifetime, only eclipsed by the Michael Jordan storm of 1983. And if you're like, what are you talking about? February 10th and 11th, 1983, we had a storm that came through Richmond, one of the historic storms of all time. I was living in Beaver Dam at the time, up in northwest Hanover County. Hanover fans listening, you know where I'm talking about. And we got 17 inches of snow in 24 hours. And that night, that Thursday night when the storm started, number one North Carolina and Michael Jordan hosted UVA and Ralph Sampson his senior year, Jordan's sophomore year. And Jordan was the hero at the end, 64-63, the final, if memory serves me correctly. And I turned off the old black and white television and went to bed and got up the next morning, and there it was. And just for the record, that was a Thursday night Friday storm, and we were back at school the following Wednesday. Now, they work things a little different now, and there's a lot more people and a lot more subdivisions to get to and things like that. Big population growth in the last 30 years. And so you really can't compare how that was handled back then as to how it's handled now. Completely two different animals. But it's been an interesting last 72 hours or so. And thanks to those of you who allowed us to help you through the storm on Twitter and social media. That's part of our purpose here at HCS Media LLC. Our motto is sports, family, life. And yes, we first and foremost cover sports, but we are big believers in family, and we also are concerned about things that affect your life. And that's why we do talk about news, and we talk about weather, and we talk about traffic, and we give you warnings and whatnot on Twitter, on our network of Twitter sites. Wherever you may be, at Hanover Sports and Henrico Sports, or at Chesterfield Sports, and then for the rest of the Metro Richmond area, follow our main Twitter feed at the RVA Sportsnet, at the RVA Sportsnet, and that's where we keep you posted on what's happening in the city of Richmond, the Tri-Cities, and surrounding counties. Okay, let's get to our top 10 polls, because as you can tell, my voice is only going to last for so long, so this will be a probably shorter than normal edition of the podcast. We had decided with everybody watching the championship games and personally here, we were trying to kind of catch up from things because you would think, well, you didn't have anything games to cover on Friday and Saturday night. You had all the time in the world, right? Except for that little nap I took Saturday afternoon. You know as well as I do that, you know, when these things start happening weather-wise, it kind of can eclipse and overtake your life, and so suddenly you have to worry about things like I got to get the dogs outside, and you got to clear off the you know, the walkway, and then suddenly it's how are you going to get the driveway done? And, you know, my wife had to get back to her office job today, et cetera, et cetera. So we decided, hey, nobody's going to school. We'll delay it 24 hours, and we released it on RVASportsNetwork.com shortly before 8 o'clock on Monday night. But here we are, so let's talk about them. Our new top 10 polls. We'll start with the girls, and we have a new entry at the number 10 spot. I want to congratulate the Titans of Trinity Episcopal, making their first appearance in our top 10 poll this season. Have had a fantastic season and a very, what's the word I'm thinking of? They've had a very consistent season. Now, currently, their next game is scheduled to be at Cape Henry Collegiate on Thursday night. Whether that happens or not, we don't know. But congratulations to the Titans. They break into our top 10 at number 10. Back into the poll. After being out for a couple of weeks, they get a win over then 10th-ranked Patrick Henry Wednesday night prior to the storm. The Wildcats of Deep Run. Mallory O'Dell and company back in the top 10 at number 9. Believe their record now 13-3. After they got a win also on Thursday night prior to the storm breaking loose on Friday. Dropping three spots to number 8, and you know, part of it, this is one of the things that we don't like about top 10 polls, and that is rating teams who may struggle, but a lot of the struggle is due to injury. And if anybody's had the injury bug this year in girls basketball, it's been the Falcons of Huguenot. I know some other teams have had some injury issues, but Huguenot has really struggled. In spite of that, they remain in our top 10, but they dropped three spots from 5 to 8. Up one to number 7, and hoping that we get back to school by Friday so that the 4th annual We Back Pat event can take place. The Tigers of J.R. Tucker. J.R. Tucker and Glenn Allen with a hard-fought battle Thursday night. Another one, their second within as many weeks, and Tigers got the winning end of that one. And so that knocked Glenn Allen out of the top 10 with Deep Run and Trinity Episcopal moving in. Deep Run, Glenn Allen are set to square off next week. I believe it's on Wednesday night. That will be a great game at Deep Run. So a chance for Glenn Allen to get a win and maybe get back in the top 10 poll prior to the end of the regular season. Plus, we're starting to look at seedings in the conference tournaments. And certainly Glenn Allen, Deep Run fighting for position with Henrico and J.R. Tucker over in Conference 11, where Highland Springs is no longer. Remember, they are now in Conference 12. St. Catharines moves up from 7 to 6, so they are number 6 now in our poll. And by the way, J.R. Tucker, going back to them for just a quick second, the We Back Pat game for Alzheimer's disease awareness, Friday night still, at this point, 6 p.m. tip against Hermitage. It's the fourth year that the Tigers have done this. It's a great event. We hope to have our reporter Taylor Luck there with updates from the We Back Pat night on Henrico Sports on Twitter and at Taylor RVASN while we're broadcasting our game of the week live at Mechanicsville, which will be Patrick Henry and Lee Davis. And hopefully our voice will be 100% by then. So Tucker at 7, St. Catharines moves up one to number 6, and also moving up one now to the top 5, and they're healthy, and they're trying to peak in time for conference tournament action. The Warriors of Henrico with now 2 1,000-point career scorers in Mackenzie Spencer and Hekelia Hudson. Top 4, we have a switch, 3 and 4 reverse because of last Tuesday night when Cosby knocked off L.C. Bird and Chester. Bird falls from 3 to 4, and no one, I think, had a tougher 6-day stretch in their schedule this season than L.C. Bird girls basketball. Back on the 14th, they had Monacan. That was their first loss of the year. Then they had the overtime thriller against Western Branch on the 16th at Stat VA. Then that Monday night, they had to go back to Highland Springs and take on the number 1 Springers, and they lost. And then they went home to host Cosby on Pinkout night, and they fell there as well. But the Skyhawks will be heard from in Conference 12 along with Highland Springs. So the Skyhawks at 4. Cosby slips up to 3 with the win, holding steady at 2, Monacan, and, of course, holding firm at number 1 and still undefeated is the Springers of Highland Springs. So there is your girls' top 10 poll. And I mentioned something on Henrico Sports, and I forget which night it was. Might have been Monday or Tuesday night of last week, and it bears mentioning here, and that is all the teams that we've seen, and I think I've seen 35 girls basketball teams live so far this year, and many of them we've seen more than once. Of all the players that I've seen, the most improved player that I've seen this season from last year's work to this year's work, Taya Bolden, Highland Springs, bar none. Her athleticism, her physicality, her growth, her work down low. Got to remember, Highland Springs lost Najee Pollard to graduation, so they needed a new complement for Cam Gatling, and boy, has Bolden stepped up and done the job. Been very impressed with her work and the several times that we've now seen Highland Springs in action, and looking forward to seeing just how much more Taya is going to blossom in her game personally, which so much helps Highland Springs. Man, they are just so good. So good. Hoping they'll continue to improve and peak. You know, you look at our top three, Highland Springs 5A, Monacan 4A, Cosby 6A. We have three legitimate teams that could go very deep into region and state tournaments this year. And that's not to discount LC Bird, Henrico, etc. They could pull the upset at any time. But you know, we've got a pretty good chance of seeing multiple teams playing at the Siegel Center in mid-March. At least that's our hope, because obviously when we get to that level, we're rooting for all the teams in the RVA. Over to the boys' poll, top 10 poll. Not a lot of change from last week. A little bit of shuffling down near the bottom. Cosby holds steady at number 10, despite the loss to LC Bird. They get a win over Huguenot before the storm hits, and they hold steady at 10. 10 really could be an interchangeable. There are like five or six different teams that frankly could be the number 10 team in our poll right now. Cosby's one. They got it. Verina would be right on their heels. And there are several others that are playing some good basketball and could break open here late if they get on a run. Meadowbrook, I think, is one. Hanover is one that's beginning to really blossom. And we'll see how they do as time goes on. Monacan, another team. And Monacan gets a shot at Cosby, hopefully coming out of the snow break here. And the Chiefs are looking to try to break in our top 10. So Cosby holds steady at 10. Hopewell falls down from 7 to 9 after the loss to Dinwiddie before the storm. So Hopewell now at 9. Hermitage moves up 1 to number 8. Dinwiddie moves up from 8 to 7. So the Generals at 7 this week. And then the top 6 are the same. No changes from the week before. Trinity Episcopal stays at 6. Your top 5, John Marshall at number 5. St. Christopher's, Sherrod, Petrie, and Company at number 4. Holding steady at 3, the Warriors of Henrico. At 2, the Skyhawks of LC Bird. And for the second week in a row, number 1 team, the Wildcats of Deep Run. And in Conference 11, basically, when we get out of the snow break, we're going to have a 2-week sprint to the finish of the regular season to see. And I think what's happening right now is Henrico's hoping, hey, if you know, we can keep rolling and get the wins, and if Deep Run can trip up to a rival here somewhere, we could get that one seed in the tournament, whereas Deep Run is hoping that they can run the table, and if they do, then they will be in good shape for the tournament. And you'll remember that in conference tournament play, private school games do not count. Deep Run's lone loss was to St. Christopher's in the TDIT championship game. And, of course, Henrico, one of their wins was against St. Christopher's. So those two games will not matter when it comes to Conference 11 tournament seeding. So right now, Deep Run with the inside track on the number one seed. And you're saying, well, Rob, what's the big deal about the number one seed? If things hold to form in Conference 11, then the number two seed would end up possibly having to deal with, if they get out of their 3-6 game, if they're number three, and they probably will be, and that is the Panthers of Hermitage. Now, there's no guarantee Hermitage is going to beat a team like a Douglas Freeman or a Mills Godwin in a one-game situation. That would be kind of uncharted territory for this program. First-year coach Rob Rice, some great talent. They've had some very, very good wins, and they deserve their spot in our top 10. They've been in our top 10 for several weeks now. The question will be, though, when you get into that one-game mid-February situation, how do you respond? And this team really has never had a situation like this before in this recent era. And so one of the teams I'm looking very much forward to watching at the tournament level will be Hermitage, because if you end up getting Clayton Leap and Douglas Freeman, or if you get a young Glenn Allen team that has some talent, Jamal Scott and company, or if you get Brett Bieswan and Mills Godwin, and he gets hot from three, you know, and Timothy Fisher's working down low, anything can happen. So there's no guarantee that Hermitage is going to be in that Conference 11 semifinal. They're going to have to earn it, but once they get there, then they're going to have a mountain to climb. And, you know, I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not even thinking about the, you know, opening night, what happened between Henrico and Hermitage. I think that's all water under the bridge, and everybody's going to be very mature about that if they end up meeting in the conference tournament. I'm not worried about that at all. I think both teams will be just fine. And now if it's deeper on Hermitage, obviously they've played each other Colonial District schedule, and they'll know each other's tendencies to a point. But Conference 11 boys going to have a lot of fun, too, at the semifinal level. Conference 12 tournament's just going to be a buzzsaw with so many teams fighting for the two seed. We know right now, unless they fall apart, and I don't think they will, LC Bird will be the number one seed. The question will be who takes the two and gets that bye to the semifinals and avoids that quarterfinal round. So we'll find out. Lots to talk about. Lots to come. Another boys tournament that's going to be wide open, I think, is over in Conference 20. Monacan could go all the way. Hanover starting to gel. Dinwiddie certainly will be the favorite and most be the top seed, but Dinwiddie has shown that they can be beaten. So Conference 20 could be very interesting. So we'll see what happens. Those are your new top 10s, boys and girls. And again, they're listed at rvasportsnetwork.com, rvasportsnetwork.com. So what have we missed because of the storm? Quite a bit. We have not lost a lot in Hanover and Henrico counties. We lost what was scheduled on Friday night that did not get pushed up to Thursday. In Hanover, we lost the Antley Lee Davis doubleheader. We lost Hanover Patrick Henry. The boys were supposed to play in Ashland. The girls at Hanover, those games have not been rescheduled. Antley Lee Davis, they have rescheduled their doubleheader for Thursday night, the 11th of February. In Henrico, we lost one doubleheader, and we had two moved up to Thursday night. So we have some makeups right now. This is exam week in those two counties, and so there are no games scheduled Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. The first games back for both of those counties would be on Friday. We've had some private schools that, of course, have lost their games. We've lost some games in the Tri-Cities in Chesterfield County, Matoaka, LC Bird. They were supposed to play boys and girls on Monday night. That didn't happen. Trinity Episcopal, the new 10 team in our girls' poll, was supposed to go to James River. That game right now is being listed online as canceled. Whether it will be rescheduled, we do not know. We've lost all the Tuesday night games that were going to happen in the Central and the Dominion District. And they're going to try to get them made good. But, you know, frankly, if we lose most of this week, then it's going to be harder to make everything up simply because we've only got the 2 weeks left here in the regular season, the week of the 1st, the week of the 8th, and conference tournaments have to start beginning the 13th. Can't play any regular season games, I believe, after February the 12th, that Friday, 2 weeks from this Friday. So there are some teams that are going to have to play a whole bunch of games in the last 2 weeks of the season, and how that's going to affect them going in to conference tournament play. Are they going to be tired? And they're going to be, you know, they're going to have their sea legs when they come in or not. There's going to be a lot coming up here in the home stretch, and we'll see what happens. Also next week is National Signing Day. Next Wednesday, February the 3rd, we're going to get to as many signing day ceremonies as possible. Things, of course, heating up on the recruiting trail. We've had several players announce where they were going to be going and where they were going to be committing to here in the last several days, including Sam Stark, the great linebacker from Thomas Dale, announcing he's going to go to emerging Division II power Shepherd University up in West Virginia. They made it all the way to the Division II National Championship this year, and Shepherd has been steadily recruiting the Richmond area for the last several years. So congratulations to him. Over at Hermitage, Kalen Sneed on Monday announced that he would be going to Virginia Military Institute. He's going to be a cadet and go through the rat line. And we want to congratulate Kalen on that decision. Suspect he will put pen to paper on that on National Signing Day next Wednesday. Over at Atlee, J.J. Givens is supposed to be announcing his final decision on Monday the 1st, a week from today as we record this podcast. He originally was committed to South Carolina. You may recall Steve Spurrier midseason announcing his retirement. South Carolina is still in the mix for Givens, but he has reopened the recruiting process and he may end up going elsewhere. And then the biggest news, of course, over the last couple of weeks has been the emergence of big offers for Highland Springs' wide receiver slash defensive back Kevon Wallace, who was verbally committed to the University of Cincinnati, but several schools have come calling in the last 2 weeks, the latest one being national runner-up Clemson on Sunday. And so we'll see. Will Wallace decide to stay with the team that offered him interest earlier on? Will he go with the team here that has come up in the last couple of weeks? And you know what? There's a lot of talk about what you should do and this and that, and there was a tweet that we retweeted on the RVA Sportsnet, and we agree with in the sense that, there is much validity and truth to the statement. And the statement was from a coach. He said, basically, to paraphrase it, when you're making your decision, remember the people who, originally went to the dance with you, the people who come and talk to you later on at the last moment. You might be the fourth or fifth person they've asked to the dance, so to speak. And that's typically I don't want to say typically true. It's true in some senses, in some cases. By the same token, I think you also have to flip that egg and look at the other side of the omelet, if you will, and realize that sometimes people just have their coming out party late, and sometimes it's because of championship runs. And so for a very talented young man like Wallace, yeah, the ability to go and do what he did on this scale and at this level and on this stage, look at the move he made for that touchdown run right side in the state championship game against Stonebridge. It's unbelievable. And for people, we'll see that when they might not see it in the regular season tape of a September game against Armstrong or someone. It's just the way it is because it happened at the stage that it did. Malcolm Butler could have made a game-saving interception last year in week 3 for New England, but nobody would be talking about it. But he made it in Super Bowl 49 to save the victory and earn, the Patriots another Super Bowl championship, and so everybody's talking about it. Sometimes it's a matter of timing. All this to say, my hope for everybody who is taking this week and making that very, very difficult, tough decision, just kind of shut out all the talk on social media. You're going to hear from all these people wanting you to be with this nation and that nation and the other nation. What we want you to do is we want you to make the best decision for you, your future, and your family's future. Simple as that. Because number one, you're going for an education. Football's going to end. Even if you're blessed enough to get to the National Football League, and only a few are, at some point, that is going to end. If you want to look at a great example from the Central Region, look at Michael Robinson from Verina High School. Went on to Penn State. Went on, played with Seattle in the National Football League, San Francisco. And now is excelling as an analyst on NFL Network. A great example of taking the talents that you learned, not just on the field, but in the classroom, and turning it into a career post-football. And for most people, that post-football career starts when you leave high school. For a few people, it starts when you leave college. And for a very select few, it starts after you retire from the NFL or your career comes to an end there. No matter where it is, make sure if you're going to college, it is academics first. It is to set your life together and ready. No matter if you're playing football, girls basketball, lacrosse, whatever the case may be, find the fit for you in terms of academics, in terms of then athletics, as well as the social component and how closely you want to be to your family, et cetera, et cetera. And for those of you who are not making those decisions this week, try to be respectful of those who are when you're talking on social media. We want to root for them to be the best that they can be. Simple as that. Okay, off my soapbox about that. National Signing Day is always crazy. It's always fun to watch a lot of kids see their dreams come true, and we'll have coverage for you next week on the 3rd of February. Our game of the week on Friday night, again, we mentioned it earlier, we'll repeat it in full. We're at Lee Davis High School. It's scheduled to be Hall of Fame night. The third class of their Athletic Hall of Fame will be inducted. And we'll be there for live doubleheader basketball action as rival Patrick Henry comes calling the Tomato Bowl on the basketball court. Girls at 6, boys about 7:30. That's our game of the week on the RBA Sports Network. Listen live Friday night on our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/RBA Sports Network. Click subscribe so you'll get email and text alerts every time we go live on the air, and you'll never miss another RBA Sports Network live broadcast. We do expect to have live broadcast, if not one, then two games, both the week of February 1st and February 8th. We are waiting until this snow mess clears before we start bothering athletic directors to get permission. We're also looking at the schedule and determining which games may have the most playoff implications to them before we make our decision as to where we will be. And as soon as we make the decision and get the appropriate permission from our ADs, we never announce a broadcast until we do that. Then as soon as we do that, we will let you know on Twitter. So again, follow us on Twitter wherever you are. For all the sports in the Metro Richmond area, follow us on the RBA Sportsnet. And if you live in one of the suburban counties and we cover it hyperlocally, follow us there at Chesterfield Sports, at Henrico Sports, or at Hanover Sports. Quick word before we go. And normally I don't venture into national sports territory, but I'm going to do it tonight. And that is a quick word about Super Bowl 50. Watched part of the AFC Championship on Sunday. I was still busy doing some other things and missed part of the first half of Denver, New England. Watched the end of the first half and all of the second half. And watched most of Carolina, Arizona. When it got in doubt, frankly, I found a few other things to do for a few minutes in that second half, and I can't say I saw every play of that. And I suspect many people are probably saying, yeah, same here. That one got kind of boring and out of control after a while. Number one, I feel bad for Carson Palmer. What a horrible time to have a bad game. And it's really sad because he's going to be now judged on his career. That's just going to kind of be the icing on the cake of the negatives that have happened to him. You know, he finally got Cincinnati to the playoffs a decade ago and tore his knee in like the first series of the game against Pittsburgh. And, you know, Cincinnati lost that game, didn't see the playoffs again for 5 years. He left Cincinnati. I was in Cincinnati the day he returned against the Bengals with Oakland in 2012. Remember, Palmer vowed he would never step foot in Paul Brown Stadium again, and then they got traded, and Oakland came back with him, and oh boy, Philadelphia had nothing on Cincinnati that day. They were just merciless to Carson Palmer, completely merciless, and the Bengals killed the Raiders. So anyway, so he goes, gets a fresh start in Arizona, and what a phenomenal season he's had. And it's really sad that this season is going to be remembered for what he did yesterday as opposed to what he had done, his complete body of work. Had a fantastic season, an MVP caliber season in terms of, you know, had it not been the same year that Cam Newton did what he did. Palmer should be top three in MVP voting. It should be Newton, Brady, Palmer, probably in that order, simply because Brady did so much with so little. Man, did that team just get decimated by injuries, and they still had a chance to win and go to the Super Bowl. That's impressive, and I'm not a Patriots fan. Full disclosure, I am not a Patriots fan. I am, frankly, tired of the New England Patriots. So I was kind of happy that Denver won, to be honest with you, just on a personal level. But it's going to be a very interesting Super Bowl. Peyton Manning, Cam Newton. But here's the thing I just wanted to mention real quick. I've been amazed. Sunday night, I wasn't surprised much to see it simply because it was reactionary to just how dominant Carolina was in the NFC Championship game. But more so here on Monday, a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking, people going, you know, the Super Bowl is going to be a joke. It's going to be a bore. It's going to be like it was 2 years ago. There's, you know, no way in the world that Denver's going to win, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I see all that, and I think to myself, did you watch Denver's defense Sunday afternoon? They absolutely pummeled Tom Brady. And it wasn't because it took him a while to get to Tom. And I know people are thinking, well, Cam Newton's a mobile quarterback, and he'll get out of the way, and da-da-da-da-da. And you know what? If it only takes DeMarcus Ware 2.2 seconds to get into the pocket and disrupt the play, Cam Newton is a pocket quarterback to a point, and he's going to have to either roll out immediately or run the football. And I suspect they're going to use a lot of Jonathan Stewart to try to neutralize Ware and company. But holy cow, I'm not sure. That defensive performance that Denver put on New England yesterday, especially up front, was one of the best performances certainly I've ever seen in the postseason and maybe I've ever seen at the professional level. And it reminded me of the 2000 Ravens and the 85 Bears. I'm not saying that defense is at that level. I'm saying one game. I think of the 2000 Ravens, they completely shut down a Raiders team that 2 years later dominated offensively in the NFL and made it to the Super Bowl. I'm thinking of the 85 Bears, who shut out the Super Bowl champions the following season and the Giants in the divisional. And then in the NFC Championship game, shut out Eric Dickerson and the Los Angeles Rams before they went on to kill the Patriots in Super Bowl 20 30 years ago. And who was on that defense? Carolina Panthers head coach Ron Rivera was. I think the mid-70s Steelers, who I remember, Mean Joe Green and company, dominant defenses. In that one game yesterday, Denver, just they were on a level. And if they play at that level, Super Bowl 50 is going to be a game. I'm not saying Denver's going to win. And in full disclosure, I'll root for Carolina because, well, it's my brother's team and half my family is from North Carolina, so I have roots. And so, you know, I've been a little bit of a Panthers fan since they were founded 20 years ago because of that tie. But would I like to see Peyton Manning go out a winner? And I'm sure this is going to be Peyton Manning's last game. I'll be stunned if he tries to come back. He really just shouldn't. This is the perfect way to end, win or lose. Would it be great if he won a second Super Bowl? Fine by me. Perfectly fine by me. But don't discount Denver. Defense wins championships, folks. And Denver has a defense that is capable of stopping Carolina. Remember, a month ago, Carolina lost to Atlanta. Atlanta. They're not infallible. I was not paid for any of these statements from the National Football League in hopes of getting you to watch the game. They already know you're going to watch the game anyway. But I think Super Bowl 50 is going to be closer than people think. And I think too many people are thinking about what happened 2 years ago. And the shoe's on the other foot this time. Denver's coming in with the defense. Carolina's got a great defense too. Don't get me wrong. Denver's going to have a hard time scoring points. It's going to have to be. If Denver's going to win, it's going to have to be 20-17. Or 17-16, 17-14. Carolina wins, you know, they score 24 points or more probably, and they win. They win. So there's going to be a huge pressure on the Denver defense to excel like they did in the AFC Championship game, but they'll have 2 weeks to prepare, and they can do it. I think it's going to be a better game than a lot of people think. That's just my opinion. Okay, so whenever we get out of the snow, we hope to be on the air with you on Friday for the game of the week. Patrick Henry, Lee Davis, girls-boys doubleheader at 6 o'clock. We will have a game of the week the next 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks in February, to be announced based on playoff projections, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to find the best possible matchups we can, and we'll have them live with you here on the RBA Sports Network. Then we'll have Twitter, social media, website coverage of the playoffs all the way through championship week at the Siegel Center mid-March. And probably after National Signing Day, we will begin to turn our attention towards scheduling our spring live broadcasts to listen live to high school baseball, softball, lacrosse, and soccer. Still plenty to come in 2016. Hey, friends, thanks so much for being with us on this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast to the RVA Sports Network. I am going to go rest my voice. I have one more article to write for this week's edition of the Hanover Herald Progress. If you're in Hanover County, you don't subscribe, why don't you? You should. We provide all the coverage of sports in the Herald Progress each and every week. Call 804-798-9031. That's 804-798-9031. Or go to herald-progress.com and subscribe. I wonder if the wire store's open tomorrow. You know, I still have to get to the wire store. Central Region Now is an exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network and intended solely for the private non-commercial use of our audience. Any other reuse of it without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC, which, by the way, is owned fully and completely by my wonderful wife, is strictly prohibited. Enjoy the rest of your snow time. If you're in Hanover and Henrico, study. There's no guarantee they're going to cancel exams, okay? Prince George, though, congratulations. You can celebrate. Yours are out. Talk to you soon.